Hello, friends. I am so glad you are back. Welcome. Lou, are you there?
Good morning, Doctor. How are we today?
Good, Lou.
Well, not outside. I'm disappointed, though. But
yeah. it's Hurricane Laura?
Yes.
Bringing in a lot of wind, 150 miles per hour winds and rain. Wow. So it's supposed to start raining any second, so I decided to do it inside. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's starting to get colder now.
It's getting that feeling, right? Here in New England, it's starting to turn. The season's starting to turn a little bit.
I'm looking forward to driving out and looking at the leaves again.
That'll be beautiful. Yeah, we always look forward to that part of the year.
So, friends, today we are going to do Chapter 7, verses 21 through 24. And verse 21 says, whatever form a devotee seeks to worship with Shraddha, which is faith and devotion, I make that Shraddha of his unswerving. So what that means is that whatever goal you pursue and whatever God you are looking at, I mean, we talked about this in previous episodes, so if you're not sure, just go back and look at it. But there is only one God, as Hinduism looks at it, and one universal force, which is Brahman. And that force gives consciousness to all of us and gives us the body that we are, and then gives life into that body.
Right.
But there's only one God, a monotheistic religion. However, in order for people to be able to identify with that formless God, it's hard to identify with a formless force, the sages said, have as many little gods as you want. Maybe a god with an elephant head for success, for that kind of thing.
God, so, with small g. I think that's
small.
Think
that's the, yes,
I think it's the way Westerners could accept it. There's only one capital G God, but there are many small g gods.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So when in this verse he says, whatever form a devotee seeks to worship, so whatever little god with a small g a devotee seeks to worship, as long as he does it with faith and devotion, Krishna says here, I, the Brahman, make that Shraddha, that devotion of his, unswerving. Means once you decide that this is my God, this is what I do with unswerving devotion, I make it continuous. So, in other words, if you are focused on success, imagine myself. I keep giving you this example of myself as a medical student or as a college student, anxious as heck to do well in my exams, studying. That in addition to studying, coming from a very religious family that always did rituals and rites and prayers, and I didn't want to do that, but I did want to pray, I would go in front of Ganesh and I would prostrate myself and I would lie down and I would pray and I would say, you know, I want to pass this exam. That faith and devotion led me to success in my exams and in my school. And what he's saying is that really it's not Ganesh, but the Brahman, that is the force behind Ganesh, that is making my success through Ganesh, but also making that devotion of mine unswerving. So the same thing applies to businessmen. So suppose a businessman is running a shop and he is only focused on making more money, but he is devoted to that thought of making money. With faith and devotion, he prays to Goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth, and he's so focused on it that Lord Krishna says, I will make that devotion to Lakshmi unswerving, and in return, you will get a lot of success. So you may think that it's coming from Lakshmi or it's coming from Ganesh, but right, it's really coming from Brahman, is what he's saying. So you have $1 billion with a B and you still want more. We know people like that.
Right.
You finish school with great marks. Now you go to college. Now you want to do well in college. You finish college and you go to medical college and you want to do well in there. It never ends. These desires are nonstop, is what happens. Now you may say, well, that's all well and good for those of you who have these desires and this drive. What happens if you go to a village in India and somebody has no desires? You look at him, he's sitting there with his hookah. You know what a hookah is, right, Luke?
Yep. Yes.
He's smoking his marijuana, you know, just sitting there very cool, calm, yep. peaceful, and says, you know, I got no drive. I have no desires. Everything is quiet. You say, well, how about him? He has faith and devotion, but he has no agitation, no nothing. But you take that same villager, you dress him up and you bring him to the United States and you let him loose in New York City or Boston. What do you think is going to happen? Within a very short period of time, that peacefulness, that tamas, that laziness is going to disappear. You see, he's starting to hustle. He wants yeah. to make more money. He's full of desires. So it's not that in the village he didn't have desires. He didn't know any better. So those desires were absent. And there's nothing wrong with desires. It's just that the desires, if they're focused towards the world, then you get agitated. And then when you get agitated, you can't think of anything else.
I imagine it works in your desire to be self-realized, your desire to be close to that, and your desire for peace. That works as well, right?
It does. And that really is the Shraddha and devotion that Lord Krishna says you really want. You remember we talked about this in the four types of devotees who are looking to go to God. And the fourth kind was the jnani, the one that is really focused on just thinking of God, dreaming of God, doing nothing but wanting that desire to be God. And that's the one desire that the scriptures say is allowed. All other desires, they say, cause sin, mental agitation.
Right.
So, verse 22, endowed with that Shraddha, he seeks, he meaning the devotee, seeks the worship of that form. And from that form, he fulfills his desires, these being verily ordained by me alone. Me in capital M, meaning me, a Brahman. So whatever desires he has, as long as he has it with faith and devotion, with Shraddha, he right. seeks worship of Ganesh or Lakshmi, as we said before. And from it, he fulfills his desires. But those are really, with the difference here, he's saying, those are verily ordained by me, Brahman. Meaning, he's the person that approves of it. You may think it's coming from Lakshmi or Ganesh or one of these smaller gods with a small g, but right. it's really Brahman that forms these desires to come true. So as an example, when I was a very young kid, we lived in India and my father was a really big shot. He had cars and chauffeurs and drivers. The one chauffeur that we had, his name was Bhalla. Bhola. Bhola was our driver. Mm-hmm. And as a young kid, I used to go to him and say, let me drive this car. Don't tell my dad. Teach me how to drive.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to me, he went to my dad and said, your son wants to drive. What should I do? And my dad said to him, I found this out much later.
Yeah.
He says, take him out to a very safe place where he can learn to drive and go ahead, teach him. But, you know, don't let him know that I know about it. Just right. do it very carefully because otherwise my son is going to ask me to drive and I don't want to let him drive. So you take him whenever you get a chance, teach him to be a safe driver. And I am a very safe driver. I've never gotten into an accident. And so he taught me how to drive. What I didn't know, because he would wink at each other. I'd be thrilled that I was doing this very quietly and surreptitiously. And Bhola never told me that he had asked my father for permission to let me drive. And he gave me that, and I thought it was Bhola who was fulfilling my wishes.
Right.
But really, he had actually to go to the big boss and ask for permission to let me drive the car.
Right.
Similarly, what he's saying here is, you may think all these are ordained by Ganesh or Lakshmi or any small god with a small g that you're praying to, but ultimately it's coming to me. I'm approving it. I'm the one that's allowing it to happen.
It gets back to what we talked about last week about in the last episode about the illusion of this world. You had the illusion that your driver was teaching you how to drive. Actually, it was your father doing it.
That's right. That's right. So it's that illusion that allows you. He who worships these devotees with the devatas with faith, then I gain fulfillment of my desires because of the faith. So that's verse 22. Verse 23 says, finite indeed is the fruit accruing to those who are of small intelligence. Finite indeed is the fruit which accrues to those who are of small intelligence, the worshippers of gods with a small g go to the gods with a small g. Likewise, my devotees reach me with a capital M. So small intelligence means when you do not understand how life functions, you run after the world and after these small things that you get. Finite meaning having an end. So you get the fruit, but it's limited. The result doesn't last. The satisfaction, the happiness, what you were pursuing doesn't last. We work day and night all the time. And what do we get in the end? Anxiety and worry. No matter what you get, you're not happy with it. The richest and most powerful seek more wealth and power. And in the process, they get worry and anxiety. So for the same amount of work and effort, if you could just focus that towards reaching Brahman, you'd get far more. You'd be, if you have to dig and dig and dig for coal, or you have to dig and dig and dig and you get diamonds, you know, might as well put the same effort towards getting the diamonds.
True.
So name, fame, health, position, house, job, all of these come with faith, devotion, and Shraddha. And what Brahman is saying here is that you can get that by coming directly to me. You don't need to go to small gods with a small g. Come to me directly. The only thing is, as we've said before, when you meditate, when you pray, it's so hard to concentrate or look at a formless God. And it's easier to have a form in front of you. So verse 24, the foolish think of me as the unmanifest, as if I'm having manifestation, not knowing my supreme nature, which is immutable and unsurpassed. So he's saying here, if a fool thinks of me as being manifest, whereas I'm really unmanifest, I'm immutable, I'm unsurpassed. There's nobody else bigger than me or different than me. Manifestation means the ability to perceive, to see, or to hear, or to smell, or to taste with our five senses. So we think that we can, when Brahman manifests himself. So the only way that you can actually see Brahman is if he takes a form himself, such as taking the form of a human being and then reaching time that you're going to be actually able to see a manifest form. But otherwise, Brahman himself, itself, is unmanifest. You don't see it.
Right.
So in Sanskrit, Brahman is said to be Sat, and Brahman is real. So it's present, conscious existence. It's real, meaning it never gets destroyed. It's always there. Asat, with an A in front of the Sat, means unreal, like a dream. It never existed, and it will not exist forever, like a dream.
Right.
So we'll talk about the difference between illusion and hallucination. And Mithya means an illusion. The world is Mithya or Maya, not there. It's an illusion. It is there only as an appearance. So when I went into psychiatry and we were teaching medical students and residents, somebody asked, what is the difference between a hallucination and an illusion? A hallucination is the creation of a perception, whether it be visual perception, you see something or you hear something, when there's nothing there, no reason to actually have that perception.
Right.
So I'm hearing a voice talking to me, and there's nothing there. There's pin drop silence, but I'm actually hearing it. That's a hallucination. That's not an illusion.
Right.
That is not Mithya. That's not Maya either. That's a hallucination. It happens when my brain is not functioning properly and I have an hallucination that there is, I can see things, I can hear things. That happens when I'm psychotic.
Right.
An illusion is where the sun is setting, it's dark, there's shadows, and something moves, like a shadow moves because of whatever, this light falls a certain way, and I think, oh, there's a person that just ran by those bushes. There's nobody there, but you actually misinterpreted something that you saw. You saw a shadow, and you thought it was somebody running. So I'm sitting, there's wind on the outside because of Hurricane Laura, and the wind is making certain noises and sounds, and I'm hearing, and I say, I heard my name being called.
Right.
That's not a hallucination. That's not mithya. That's not maya. That is an illusion. Sorry, that is mithya. That is maya. Right. That is an illusion, meaning something that you misinterpreted. So going back to our
scriptures
telling us the example of a rope and a snake.
Rope and a snake, yeah.
In the dark, you see a rope, but you misinterpret it as a snake, and you think that there's a snake there. So you look, without the rope, you don't see the snake. The rope has to be there in order for you to see the snake. If you don't have the rope, you don't have the snake. And that is the difference between an illusion and real or sat. So Brahman appears in the world and the cosmos and the various beings that we are. It is considered an avatar. An avatar, you people in the West know it. There was a movie, right, called, what was it called?
Avatar.
Avatar, okay.
Yeah.
So an avatar means, avatar is, the form is different, but really the what creates it is the same. So the rope and the snake never appear together. Brahman and the cosmos and the world don't appear together. The rope is there. The snake appears as the rope. It looks as if it's right. A snake, but really it's the rope. As so long as you...
Brahman is here, it's giving a stimulus. We're just misinterpreting it.
That's correct. Yeah. As long as you see it as a snake, you do not see the rope.
Right.
As long as you see it as the world, as me, as you, you do not see Brahman. Only when the snake disappears and you recognize that it's a rope, is you're seeing the reality. So only when a self-realized person sees everything around him as Brahman and not as you and I or as human beings. So he actually, when he looks at every individual, he sees everything as Brahman. He sees himself as Brahman. He sees everybody as equal.
Right.
Same thing with electricity and light. As long as you see anything as light, as a bulb, you don't see the electricity.
It's interesting too with illusion that once you see through the illusion, there's no going back.
There's no going back. That's right. That once you see that this shadow was not, you don't see it as a person running through the bushes.
Right.
Once you know this is the wind, you don't hear your name being called.
Once you know it's a rope, it'll never be a snake again.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you so much, my friends. I hope this is clear. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to write to us on Facebook, and we'll see you next time.